Afternoon, everyone. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jim Lake. Welcome to another episode of Tech Talks. My guest today is Josh Overholt, who's the product manager for Special Hazards. And what I've asked Josh to come on and join me and talk about today is our new, what do we call it?
Synthetic chlorine free foam.
Yeah. You tripped up on that.
S-triple-F.
S-triple-F as opposed to A-triple-F. That's great. We'll discuss right here. We'll discuss the transition from A-triple-F to S-triple-F. We're also going to spend some time talking about the impact that this transition has on system components and on some of the designs of systems, because it's not just necessarily a drop-in candidate. You know, you're not just dropping in new concentrate. And we're going to identify most importantly here at the end, we're going to identify some of our resources that we can get to that you can get to help you out. Not the least of which is going to be our technical services guys, Josh included. So Josh, let's dive right into this. Let's start looking at, first of all, the transition. So what are we transitioning into? Why is it?
Sure.
Why is it important to know that there's a transition from one to the other, that the impact?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So right out of the gate, it's S-triple-F synthetic fluorine free foam. Mm-hmm. Some of the legacy foams were aqueous film forming foam, or mm-hmm. A-triple-F foams. And, so basically we're transitioning some of the legacy systems that used A-triple-F or fluoroprotein foams mm-hmm. to the S-triple-F. So a lot of people start looking at the triple F part of it and maybe confusing some terms. Mm-hmm. The other one was aqueous film forming foam, where now we're talking about synthetic fluorine free foam. So it has that triple F in it, mm-hmm. but they mean two different things, right?
Okay.
So, that's a big change. Now, with that being said, the S triple F foam that we have approved that we use is the mm-hmm. Viking ARK concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
And, of particular note, that concentrate has a higher viscosity than mm-hmm. some of the legacy foams.
And but it's alcohol. AR is the alcohol resistant.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Yep. So it'll do hydrocarbons and it'll work for polar solvents.
Okay.
You know, being an alcohol resistant concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is a little bit, thicker than what we're used to.
Okay.
And with that being said, it drives some changes in the systems and makes it not, necessarily a drop-in concentrate.
Right.
You know, it's not as simple as removing that A-triple-F concentrate and, just using this in its place. And that's
sure.
some of the calls that I've had so far, about the new synthetic fluorine-free foam is, can I just swap it out?
Right.
And the answer to that is no, there's more to it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully through, through this, as we begin talking about this, we get the audience to understand that it's not just a drop-in concentrate. There's mm-hmm. other things to think about. You don't necessarily have to remember all the technical parts of a change out, because that's mm-hmm. what we're here for. You can give us a call and we'll work with you and kind of steer you through that process. That's kind of our mission as far as that's concerned. But the synthetic fluorine free foam that we do use again is the Viking ARK concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
We use it at a 3%, so 3% with fresh water use. And that synthetic fluorine free foam has different, products that it's approved with, being hydrocarbons as well as polar solvents. But mm-hmm. it is a little bit, it is a little bit thicker. So it's,
right.
Something that drives some of those other changes.
So it's a little thicker. Now, I would be remiss on a day like today. It's a little thicker. So what we're actually talking about, it's kind of like the head of Guinness as opposed to the head of maybe a regular lager. Everybody, the head of Guinness has a little bit thicker. It's the thicker foam.
Yeah.
Are we talking about something like that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, so there's our St. Patty's Day reference, and we can move on now.
And it's green.
And it's green.
Yeah, so we're good with that. So so then other things, as far as that concentrate is concerned, we have it available in totes and mm-hmm. and drums.
Okay.
So that's not an issue on it. But again, the big thing there is to just keep in mind that it is a synthetic fluorine-free foam, and it's a little bit different than what we're used to. Not only because of the viscosity of
mm-hmm.
it, but just how it reacts with fires and different types of products that we use it on. So
right.
we want to start, really kind of drilling in on, what are we trying to protect? What hazard
okay.
are we trying to protect? Mm-hmm. And the concentrate itself, and that's going to kind of steer us down some different paths as far as like okay. density increases and that kind of stuff. So
So let's take a look, first of all, before we go down that path, because I got a couple of questions on, you know, occupancies. So we're not talking about the high expansion foams.
Right.
Yet these can be used in similar locations, or I mean, the low expansion aircraft hangars, things like that. Sure. I mean, it's just a different approach, but it's and high expansion foams don't have this same chemical makeup or.
Sure. Yeah. So high, you know, we offer high expansion and low expansion, mm-hmm. You know, fixed fire protection systems, and high expansion foam doesn't have, you know, it's not fluorinated in any way, right? So mm-hmm. it's fluorine free. Mm-hmm. So that's already, you know, fluorine free, but the older legacy foams used in low expansion systems, on the other hand,
yeah.
Are a little bit different. So we're transitioning into the synthetic fluorine free foam concentrates, where there's no intentionally added fluorine to them, right?
Okay.
So, and those systems can be used in aircraft hangars. I mean, you could have low expansion foam mm-hmm. used there, or in flammable and combustible storage warehouses is another example of where this would be a great application for it.
Okay.
So those two are, you know, real good examples of where this would be. But there is a difference between high expansion and low expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people confuse that, you know.
Right.
But low expansion is specifically what we're talking about with the synthetic fluorine-free foam.
Yeah. Because, I mean, some of the confusion is a lot of the components for the mixing, for the taking everything, creating the solution, all look the same when you're looking at them in the riser room.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
It all kind of looks the same, but it's all about what's in that tank, really. And what's coming out the other side.
Yeah, right. So the major difference between a low expansion foam system and a high expansion foam system is really the concentrate. Mm-hmm. And the discharge devices, right?
Right.
So when you look at the riser in a simplistic view, it's they look almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to look at the concentrate
right.
and then the devices that the foam is being made from, right?
Right.
So the finished foam is going to exit from the discharge device. Mm-hmm. So that's really where you're going to see the difference.
Yeah, and that's where we're going here. We're going to talk about the components here, because while they look the same, I mean, and they are pretty much, I mean, they're all, nothing really is changing as far as what these components are, proportioners, things like that. But there's only certain ones here that are approved to be used with this new type of foam. So
yeah.
that's where this transition really starts to have an impact on the design of the system and the operation of the system and making sure you get it
sure.
right. Because this is not just a straight drop in.
Yeah.
Here's a put a new foam concentrate in the bladder or something like that.
Right, right. Yeah. So so the concentrate itself would go into the bladder tank.
Mm-hmm.
So the bladder tank itself, you know, I get the questions, you know, can we reuse the same, you know, bladder tank that we have?
Right.
And with that, you know, that question, the answer is a maybe, right?
Yeah.
And
I love those. As a former AHJ too, you always love those.
But
before you get into the tank, though, is there anything more we want to talk about concentrate and fuel? Because we'll talk about the.
No, I think we're good, because it's again, it's a 3% concentrate. It's mm-hmm. an alcohol resistive. It's the ARK.
Yep.
You can use it for hydrocarbons. You know, and again, so as far as that's concerned, I think we're good with concentrate and fuels.
Cool.
And
so we're going to start off at the end of the system and sure. work our way back into the source here. So obviously, we have the components of the system that mix everything together at the riser and everything, and then you've got the discharge
sure.
devices. So let's talk about these discharge devices, because there's a current products that are available,
mm-hmm.
And then there's kind of a vision of the future as to where it might be, where yeah. it might be going, and how difficult. Well, I won't say how difficult, but what do we have to do
sure.
to get to these newer products? Because it's not a full. We don't. Not everything that we produce here can
yeah.
interact with this system. So let's talk about
yeah.
the discharge devices a little bit.
Sure. So and it's actually a great place to start instead of the bladder tank,
mm-hmm.
Because the discharge device, you know, when we're talking about fire sprinklers, which are approved at this point,
mm-hmm.
You know, they have densities associated with their, you know, their distribution, right, or the spray
sure.
pattern. So that density is going to drive the size of the bladder tank,
mm-hmm.
right? So you know, in the past, things might have been a 0.16 as it was designed,
mm-hmm.
maybe a 0.2, where now our densities, you know, being FM approved, are beginning at 0.3,
mm-hmm.
right? So our density has increased. And when we increase that density, you know, we're also driving the increased or the potential to increase the bladder tank size, right? Mm-hmm. Which is also going to increase the amount of concentrate that we, you know, need,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
So when we start with the discharge devices, mm-hmm. You know, the discharge device has the density assigned to it based on the fuel that it's extinguishing, as well as maybe the installation height and mm-hmm. the K factor, and then the orientation of the fire sprinkler, whether it's a pendant or an upright, right?
Okay.
So when we consider all those things, that's driving that density, mm-hmm. which again is then what we're using to size our bladder tank.
Okay.
Right? So in our older systems at a 0.16 and our new stuff, you know, perhaps, or, you know, it depends on the, really the design of the existing right. system, but starting at a 0.3, if the system was a 0.16, mm-hmm. there's going to be a significant, you know, jump in the amount
sure.
of concentrate,
sure.
which is going to lead to upsizing that bladder tank.
What standards are driving this? Is NFPA 11, yes. 16 FM? Who's,
yeah, right?
who's driving the train on some sure. of these densities that
sure,
you're referring
so the,
to?
So the densities, you know, so NFPA does have densities in their standards for, mm-hmm. You know, the respective standard on the hazard we're trying to protect, which mm-hmm. could be, you know, 4 or 9, it could be 30,
right.
could be 11.
Mm-hmm.
And in some of the older models, you know, we know today that 11 and 16 are kind of
right.
In the same document, but depending on the jurisdiction or the AHJ,
mm-hmm.
You might be looking at an older version of 16 or
you,
any of those.
You and I are AHJ, so we know those they're a little behind the times sometimes. So, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, just sometimes.
So that being said, the standard's going to drive the, mm-hmm. you know, the duration.
Right.
Right. And it may have specific densities listed. But if those densities are less than where we're approved,
mm-hmm.
Then you're going to default to what were the densities that were approved
right.
at.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
Now, if the density in those documents are higher than mm-hmm. where we're at, then you're going to go with the higher density for that. Application, right?
Okay.
So, but you're never going to drop below a 0.3 or the mm-hmm. 0.4, right? Mm-hmm. So,
right.
You know, and depending on the addition of those standards, 11 or 16 or again 4 or 9, any of those things that that are being used to guide the AHJ, mm-hmm. You know, there might not even be mentioned to synthetic fluorine free foam in those documents, right? Mm-hmm. They may still be referencing AFFF
right.
or the fluoroprotein foam. So again, mm-hmm. something to keep in mind, you know, where the technology might be a little bit ahead of some of those codes and standards.
Sure.
So,
yep. Yep. Anything else on these guys right here that you want to?
So yeah, well, we can add 5.6 K mm-hmm. factor 5
right.
sprinklers. We have approvals for. Uh-huh. We have approvals of 11.2 as
mm-hmm.
well,
mm-hmm.
and we have heights up to 45 feet or installation heights of up to 45 feet.
Okay.
But again, that density is going to be driven specifically to the sprinkler and its SIN number based on K factor, installation height, fuel, and all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. it's super important to make sure that you know, you're looking at our tech data and looking at the FM approval guide to get mm-hmm. the correct density for that. And then, you know, I would add to that too, you know, we have the 5.6 and the 11.2.
Mm-hmm.
We have some other K factors hot on the trail here, and
yeah.
they're going to be out there very, very soon.
Right. So those are
available.
That was my yeah. next question. We've got these, we've got some, you know, it's just a matter of testing these out and what their,
yeah.
what their densities are going to be, and just because it is such a focused and special regulation or requirement for each of these types
sure.
of sprinklers, as you pointed out here, it's upright or pendant and K factor and everything else.
Yeah.
We're rolling this out, but we're rolling products. I mean, it's yeah. one of those things that you're just going to need to kind of keep coming
sure.
back to us to say, okay, what's new? Because we're right. just going to keep rolling these things
right.
out.
And those products are being tested and approved quite quicker than, you know, maybe we can keep up. So, you know, the data maybe
yeah.
is, you know, the data sheet or whatever
right.
might be a little bit behind. And, but those approvals are forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had a very robust product line as far as the discharge devices,
right.
you know, prior to this rollout. And we're aggressively working to get that that
yeah.
product line back. And we want to get it out there and get it available. So
okay.
all those things we had before are in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned. You know,
right.
they're coming soon.
So let's talk about, if we can, just a little bit the delivery to the, I mean, because this is part of that transition too. Is this going to have an impact at all on pipe sizes, or it, could it have an impact as you're coming through with
sure.
higher viscosity liquid and such, or is it,
yeah,
is
yeah.
it, is it a potential? And we can get to where you can get help, but I just want sure. kind of a quick answer sure. on yes, or not a yes or no, but because it never really is one like
no,
that.
It's always a maybe.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. It's not a gotcha question. It was
right.
Just,
right. No, right. it's all, it, you know, so there's a couple things to talk about as far as, you know, pipe diameters and pipe sizes, mm-hmm. right? So in the distribution side of things, maybe out in the protected area, right?
Yeah.
So when we increase the density, you know, maybe from a 0.16 to a 0.3 or a 0.4, mm-hmm. depending, mm-hmm. You know, we may need to seek the assistance of a design professional to, mm-hmm. to make sure that we have, you know, spacings and that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then other things that would be, you know, maybe with a concentrate supply to the bladder tank, mm-hmm. is another, you know, potential area of increase. Increase depending on
okay.
what was there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we're talking about the bladder tank, we're trying to maintain that concentrate supply, which mm-hmm. I think you got that next, right?
So, I think so. Hey, look, so, I got yeah. the bladder tank next. So that, look, it's almost like we planned this.
So the bladder tank itself, you know, has an inlet for the water supply, mm-hmm. You know, to get the concentrate out of the bladder tank. And then it has the concentrate outlet, you
right.
know, on the top, right? So the water supply is always going to be piped to, you know, the same diameter as the water supply inlet,
mm-hmm.
and coming out of the top of the bladder tank, that concentrate outlet on top of the bladder tank, we want to try to maintain that at a minimum of 2.5 inches.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, if depending on what we're replacing, you know, mm-hmm. there probably aren't going to be too many scenarios where, you know, you're going to try to reuse the 2-inch concentrate line, mm-hmm. or something like that, because that would, you know, it's a relatively small bladder tank that would have a 2-inch inlet and outlet, mm-hmm. right? So with the higher densities, the likelihood of that bladder tank, you know, increasing in size or being upsized is, mm-hmm. is definitely there, right? So,
okay.
you know, up to 200 gallons in the bladder tank, I think it's 2-inch, and then maybe up to 500 after that is going to be 2.5, and then mm-hmm. after that, it's going to be 3-inch, right? So we're
okay.
probably always, and again, you know, for the most part, it's very dependent upon what systems are out there and what's being, you know, replaced or transitioned, right?
Sure.
And so 2.5 inch is going to be the minimum for that pipe diameter, mm-hmm. for the concentrate supply. So
yeah.
you may have to replace that or be a part of it as mm-hmm. well. And, you know, and when we're talking about, you know, what's involved in the transition process.
Mm-hmm.
What we're actually talking about is the transition for an approved system with the synthetic fluorine free foam.
Right.
We're not
right.
saying this is, you know, how we get to a fluorine free system, so to speak, right? We so
okay.
kind of differentiate
yeah.
that, right? Because the AHJs or the environmental authorities in that area may say that you have to do more than what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
but what we are talking about is the components that would get us to that approved system
right.
to use that concentrate. So just to make sure there's a differentiation there.
The bladder, though, in the tank too, is yeah. that a source of concern? Because
Sure.
is that going to be an issue? It's coming in contact with this
yeah.
new foam. So like everything else, sprinklers, piping, everything else, is there something we need to concern? Is there a transition here that might happen, or
yeah, yeah,
you
got to
evaluate that?
Another very valid question, right? So
yeah.
we get that question too, is it,
huh?
can I just change the bladder in the bladder tank?
And, right.
And, you know, as luck would have it on mm-hmm. St. Patty's Day here.
Yeah.
It's as luck would have it, it's
yep.
You know, it the answer is it depends, right?
Yeah.
Which is another maybe, right? So
yep.
The Viking VFT model bladder tank is what's approved as a part of the components for mm-hmm. our FM you know, the approval.
Right.
So if it is a Viking model VFT bladder tank
mm-hmm.
and it is sized to handle the new density, right, and the new concentrate amount,
right.
then it would be, you know, it would be a simple bladder replacement
mm-hmm.
In that, and then you'd be in good shape, right?
Okay.
But if you have to increase or upsize your bladder tank, it doesn't matter
right.
what the model was that was there, because
yeah,
it's being replaced.
You're
going
to get
right?
the new, right.
And, you know, and when we say a simple bladder change, if you've participated in that, you know that's not, simple might not be the best word to
yeah.
use.
Never.
But,
right.
but nonetheless, it's just a bladder change at that
yeah.
particular point.
Okay.
So, yep.
All right. So we've talked about the delivery side of things, and we've talked about the supply side of things.
Sure.
But now kind of where they all meet is another portion of this system that has a special approval of specific proportioners. Because I mean, we've got all the proportioners. We manufacture different ones, ILBPs and such, but they're not all approved for this, right? So like sprinklers, there's just a couple here, or there's actually just one that you can actually use. So let's talk about this proportioner. What was it? This is a wide range, what we call a wide range proportioner.
Yeah,
the model, impact it has.
Yeah, the model VNR wide range proportioner is what we have approved. And, you know, really up until now, we've talked a lot about concentrate and, you know, foam systems. You have concentrate, you have solution, and then you have finished foam, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, concentrates in its purest form, but using this device is where we're going to mix it with the system water to make our foam solution.
Right.
And, you know, so we're using that at 3%. So this proportioner is going to give us that 3% foam water solution.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the model VNR. It comes in two different sizes. We have 6-inch and 8-inch.
Okay.
And as far as the 6-inch and 8-inch, the two biggest concerns with changing the proportioner is, one, the system flow. You know, we want to consider that, right? Because our 6-inch, you know, both, let me say this, both proportioners start at 50 gallons per minute.
Mm-hmm.
6-inch tops out right around 1900. I think it's like 1895.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And the 8-inch proportioner goes up to 3000. I think it's specifically 3003 gallons per minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be within those flow ranges, obviously.
Right.
But the big thing with the transition process is making sure that we take into consideration friction loss through that device,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, if I know that, as an example, a ratio controller is very common in our mm-hmm. in our frame
right.
systems.
Yep.
So if I had a ratio controller that was being used, if I could take that flow of that system mm-hmm. and take the size of that ratio controller and figure out what that friction loss was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I'm transitioning into a new proportioner, either the 6-inch or the 8-inch proportioner, wide range proportioner. I want to try to land my friction loss as close as possible to what was there so that I'm not changing too much of the system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the one thing to keep in mind is if you were changing that density mm-hmm. From what might've been, again, just as an example, a 0.16 and I'm going to a 0.3, my flow increases, right?
Right.
So when I'm matching my friction loss with the wide range proportioner, mm-hmm. I'm matching my friction loss of the new flow to the existing system's friction loss, if that makes sense, right? So the existing system was 800 gallons per minute, and that friction loss was, you know, 6 or 8 pounds. Once I get to my new flow of maybe 1500 gallons per minute based on the 0.3 and 5000 square feet, then you know, I want to keep my friction loss as close as possible. So I want to land somewhere around that 6 or 8 that I had originally.
Sure.
So in some cases, the 8-inch may be the better option over the 6-inch. But
what if I don't have that? What if my piping is not that size coming in? So I've got, I'm going up to this big 8-inch, but that's not where I started. So
you are, right.
That's not what I have in the building right now.
Yeah.
So
you're
going to. What do I do there?
Yeah, you're going to increase the pipe diameter to the, you know, appropriate size for the proportioner that you've chosen. And then keeping in mind, as far as pipe diameters are concerned, with all our proportioners, regardless whether it was the ILBP or the ratio controller, it'll be the same with this one as well. But you want to maintain 5 pipe diameters of straight pipe before and after, or upstream and downstream, depending on the terminology that you want to use. But having that straight pipe to make sure that we're managing it, you know, the turbulence and things correctly, so that we can proportion correctly. So
does that 5 pipe diameters need to be straight pipe, or can it go around it? Does it need to be straight out? You can't elbow out and go
right,
down.
Straight
pipe.
We're trying to keep that straight pipe, you know, the 5 pipe diameters, you know. So if we go, you know, we go with that 8-inch proportioner, we got 40 inches of straight
40
pipe.
40 inches of straight pipe, baby.
Before
that's
and after.
Yeah.
You know? And that's definitely a consideration to keep in mind, because if you had a 4-inch ratio controller, you only had 20 inches of straight pipe before and after, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big difference there, you know?
Yep.
In a wet pipe foam water system, if you're going to supply the bladder tank after the check valve, you know, you can land that within that 40 inches and that's okay, because there's not a lot of flow to compress the bladder and the bladder tank. So that's not a concern, so to speak, as much as keeping that straight pipe, you know, keeping all those 90s and things managed.
Mm-hmm.
So, but great question.
Cool. Okay, so let's just kind of we'll step one more time into the all right resources where you know we've obviously we're going to be going to the we're going to push people to the webpage with our products page, and obviously the most important thing here obviously is going to the SFFF section, or the you go into products and you drop down there and it's the high and the low expansion form.
Yeah, so yeah, you get two choices, high and low.
High and low, that's pretty straight. I'm pretty sure I can do that. So the question then becomes to me is, all right, how do you stay up to speed with all of these things that we may even be having trouble staying up to speed on, but how does somebody out there know when new stuff, or how are we going to be able to communicate what's our method, I guess?
Yeah. So I guess what would drive it first would be the customer's need to have a specific product, right? Mm-hmm. So, once they have that need for that specific product, go to the website,
right?
Under the products section of it, again, you get that high and low foam
right.
Categories there. And then the product should be broken down and placed there.
Mm-hmm.
As far as fire sprinklers are concerned, as we update with different K factors and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff, the best way to do that is to use the sprinkler selector on our website.
Oh, all right.
Under quick links, there's a link to that.
Mm-hmm.
We have an excellent digital team that handles a lot of those capabilities for us to make life a lot easier.
Yes, make it a lot easier.
And if you go into that sprinkler selector and if you just click on it and jump into it, right out of the gate, when you get to the bottom of it, it's going to tell you that there's about 4,700 entries, right?
So right.
It's kind of hard to filter through all that mm-hmm. without having some help. So mm-hmm. In the advanced search section of the sprinkler selector, you can toggle on foam water approved.
Okay.
And that'll get you to, I believe, it's 458 different variations.
Variations, right, yeah.
Currently of the original 4,700-ish mm-hmm. that are foam water approved, and that number will change. But that'll get you down to, just the foam water approved fire sprinklers. And so we manage that and get that updated, as often as the new approvals are coming through.
Right.
And then, sometimes after you toggle that on, you might want to filter it by K factor then, which is definitely an option.
Oh, sure.
Getting to the website and getting our resources there. Right. And, and again, we are, it is an FM approved system. So mm-hmm. you have the FM approval guide as well. So everything, from the concentrate to the proportioners and all of that is also on the FM approved or the FM approval guide.
Right.
So you can go straight to that document as well. And that will get you, brought up to speed or what have you with products.
Okay, so clearly the design assistance or any kind of assistance like that, they can, we'll give you the number here for tech services in a moment. You can get right a hold of Josh. I would be remiss if I wasn't going to talk about training here. We are continually rolling out, newer programs. We've got our brand new sprinklers and valves and systems and solutions program coming up that's filling up real well. What and you and I've talked about this. What kind of plans do we have for building out a training program? Yeah. I'm not going to say this, what court, I won't hold you to a date.
Sure.
But obviously this is going, we have the capabilities here of delivering that training in our labs and such. So what do you foresee as far as a training program, the scope of it? What do you think? I mean, I know this one might be out of left field for you, but just tell us about what you think about the training, because you've done some already.
No, we've definitely done some training here. It gets a little more in depth with the transition process. This is kind of the, mm-hmm. The tip of the iceberg, so to speak. But, we just ran some training on it
mm-hmm.
and covered that transition process.
Sure.
And, I think in the very near future, we'll have, a day and a half or so on specific to foam.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be able to, get something out there and, shortly.
Sure.
I will never put a time on it.
No, I know you better. I know you better than that.
But it's coming soon.
Yeah, soon. Okay. So that, leaving that as the training subject matter, then what we'll do is we'll just give you the other best resources here. You can go online, and if you still have questions after that, here's your man. But it's also Viking Tech Services, Tech Services, or Viking Court, or T. TECHSVCS.
Do you need your glasses?
Whatever that is. Yeah, hang on. Anyway, you guys all see that there. Don't read the screen, Jim. Jeez, don't read the screen. So other than that, that's basically it. And no, anything else you want to say?
No, I think this is I think that the change, you know, is it definitely a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to stay on the forefront of safety and that's not just fire safety. That's environmental, right?
That's right. So, where Viking likes to be right on the right on the vanguard of all that stuff. So
it's a good thing.
Yes, it's a good thing. So again, this has been Tech Talks for Josh Overholt. I'll say goodbye and thanks for your time and attendance. And if you have any questions, there's all the information for you. So thanks a lot. Take care.